Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is the Hip Hop Saved My Life podcast. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Now sit back, cause it's time for the podcast.
Welcome to Hip Hop Saved My Life. We're back in lockdown, so we're not in a studio. We're doing it remotely.
Really celebrating that.
Hooray!
Yeah,
nice. We had a nice run of five records in the studio, and now we're back.
Well, we are joined by someone who came and did a live one with us when we were on our previous lockdown, and then we're back in lockdown and thought, what? Who better to come back on and do a proper recorded episode? And none other than the legend that is Dizzy Rascal. Hello, mate.
What's going on, big man?
How is a lockdown treating you?
I cannot complain. I actually can't.
You got the perfect setup just to be in lockdown there.
It was all set up. I bought some new toys. Bought myself a new MIDI keyboard, a MIDI little drum machine thing that ain't wired up yet. I'm happy. Everything's all right at home. Everything blessed.
Do you get slightly nervous that you're going to buy too much shit? Like, I bought. I sort of got carried away like late at night. Where after my wife's got this thing, but I'd still be looking online. Obviously, not anything.
Looking online.
No, but I ended up. I bought a fucking jumpsuit the other day. I don't know what I was thinking. Yeah, honestly.
Isn't that what girls wear?
Yeah, but why? Because I can. Fuck.
I don't know. I just thought I could try and pull it off, and then it arrived.
You're supposed to feel like that. You're a star, baby.
Talk us through it, man. What's it look like? What colour?
It's navy blue.
Nice. Like a boiler suit, then.
Quite loose, but it's like a boiler suit, yeah. And I tried it on, and it was a mistake. I mean, I'm happy to admit that. It was a big mistake.
You can use it at Halloween or something.
Mm. No, you just keep it there to remind you that you can afford to make them mistakes.
Get it framed.
What have you been doing during lockdown, is
it? Well, it's like, how long has it been the lockdown? It's been a what? A week, innit?
A week, yeah.
2 weeks.
Two, innit?
It's been 2 weeks.
I didn't even notice. I ain't been anywhere. And then, to be fair, before the lockdown, work was a bit lockdown-ish anyway. Like, the conditions. Yeah. Like, all the little, whatever, interviews or TV shows or whatever I was doing, it was in sort of, like, lockdown-ish conditions. So, between going to do that and being at home, I don't see, like, what the difference is, innit?
Are you not leaving the house at all, then?
Not much. So if I'm honest, to do what?
I don't know. I like to have like a...
Buy a jumpsuit.
That's what I need.
Online.
A list.
Like go for a walk or some shit, you know?
Walks and that, yeah. I've been going on walks and all that. Walking school and all that. But other than that, nah, not much, really. Just been indoors, just jamming. Like I don't mind it. It's studio rat, innit?
Yeah.
These things don't affect me in the same way.
Yeah. When do you do your best work in the studio? Are you like 3 o'clock in the morning?
Girl? I don't like nights no more, you know. I'm a like
really?
Years. Nah. If, like when I was out in LA and Miami, you know, sometimes I'll do them late night ones because you're so far away from home with different people as a vibe. Sometimes you catch them vibe. But I'm a daytime guy, man.
Is that something that's happened as you got older, is it, you think?
I think it has, you know. Last few years, yeah, just fresher. Just fresher.
I've had so many fucking times like that, man, where like I've had to write a script or get a thing finished. And I think to myself, I'm going to put the kids to bed. I'm going to chill out for a bit, watch a bit of TV, and I'm going to go through the night. And then I sit, and about midnight, I think, do you know what? I think I'm just going to go to bed. And then that's what happens. Tyler, I can't do it.
You just got to stick to office hours. That's the key.
True, man. First thing in the morning, as far as writing bars, yeah, I find sometimes first thing in the morning is the one, you know, straight away. But before you've even got out of bed, things just come.
Yeah.
And even if you might, sometimes the hardest part is getting the start. Because then when you got the start of whatever it is, whether you're writing a script or writing like a verse or whatever, when you get that start, then you can leave it halfway through, get on with the day, and just you know what I mean?
Yeah, I find that what I do in the first hour of the day sort of sets the tone for what I'm going to be doing the whole day. Do you know what I mean? So if I'm productive in that first hour, it's going to be a good day. But if I fuck that first hour off, it's over. I might as well just go, okay, today's done. Do you know what I mean? I'm not going to get anything done today.
Sometimes you have them days where you feel like, fuck it. You just want to just lounge around, innit?
Yeah. I know. That's good, though. I think creatively, that's all right, isn't it? To have a lounge around there.
It's research.
Sometimes you need to, man, because sometimes you just need to live. It's hard to just constant. You know what? You've probably got like a, what do you say, executive mindset or kind of want to be on the go. But when it comes to like creative stuff, it don't really work like that. So it's like a battle, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're at a level where, look, you're on fucking every TV show and that, or you're on big league shit, innit?
Yeah. So
you need to read, the output needs to be crazy to keep you up there, innit?
Right.
Boiler suit shit.
I'm on that fucking jumpsuit. I'm on that jumpsuit level.
Jumpsuit levels, where? Jumpsuit. Yeah, I bought a jumpsuit in the pandemic, bitch.
Whatever. I bought 10.
Yeah, what are you saying? Fuck your jumpsuit, bitch.
I mean, you got to get it on by the end of this podcast, dude.
I'm not getting it on during the podcast, mate. I'll send you guys a photo. How about that?
There you go.
But listen, Dizzy, mate, I've got to say, congratulations on this album, man. It's fucking great.
Slap yourself. What? I'm so ahead of my lap myself. What? I'm so high, you can never come down. If I did come down, I'd catch myself. Ha. I don't need gang, I'll back myself. What? Dipping and whipping in black on stealth. Fly off the handle, fly off the shelf. Yeah. Bury myself with stacks and wealth. If I die now, it's the cards I'm dealt. Yeah. I'm so G, R.I.P. Rest in peace is what it would've smelled. Yeah. So much P, I don't tie my belt. Just buy a new belt, I don't need no help. Ha. Could've just welped a nail on the floor, the pain I felt. Yeah. But I just felt like I would melt. Love. Life.
So I proper knuckled down for that one as well, man. And any little side things that I thought I was going to do, I said, nah. For one minute, I thought I was going to be a property something. I don't know. I watched loads of fucking, what's that, Homes Under the Hammer. I thought that I was going to be like, yeah, I'm going to get loads of property. And then I've realised that, nah, that's not what I'm going to do.
Well, hold on, what put you off doing that?
Well, I needed to really make a good album. and for whatever I thought I was gonna make from renovating some old shitty bungalow or whatever, I'd probably do better with like making a good album.
I bet they've used some of your tunes before on that Homes Under the Hammer. They must have.
I think one or two couple times where I've just been sitting randomly and it's come on, and I felt really good about it because I proper love that show and anything like it. And then,
but they always use tunes, don't they, in a really obvious way, like. So there we go, like, that was a bonkers sale, and then bonkers would start playing. It's like really obvious.
And then there's other tunes they flung on that I've never heard of. Like, what song was that? Like, whoever's doing that job is doing a great. His range is crazy.
Yeah, it's good. I think they just type into Spotify whatever the keyword is.
I learn something every day. I wouldn't even thought to do that.
Rupert, do you work on Homes Under the Hammer?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, still 10 series in.
Are you joking?
Yeah, I'm joking, man.
Oh, you're not. My emotions like that, man. I'm so excited.
So with this album, I mean, I assume you're aware. I guess it's difficult. If it's your album, it's difficult to know what people are saying about it. I mean, you've got an idea. People are getting in touch with you. But this feels like everybody feels like this is a proper you at your best, right? Like, I mean,
finally, yeah, you did it, yeah. now I can go back to my property magnate dream, yeah. Bungalows, give me all the bungalows. it's getting good feedback, man. It is. People are loving it. Like,
did you feel like you were onto something when you were making it?
Yeah, I did. I did. Like, the main bit was, it started off with me making my own beats again. So getting to that point where I was happy with what I was making. In fact, I was even doing it again because I'd stopped for years. It started off with the song that's actually the first song on the album. It kind of started off with that, God knows.
God knows that I've got a good heart, but I do not go for the disrespect. God knows that I've been through the blood and the sweat. You bet I'm a nervous wreck. God knows if I say that I come for a check, then a check is what I expect. God knows I'm a pain in the neck. God knows, better watch your step. Yeah. Gotta be patient, steady pace and a bit of meditation. I got away from the self-medication, but I'm still myself on an occasion. Yeah, I'm still myself, not an imitation. Elevation, headspace in another location. Vacation, play away, I don't stay at my station. Got a brand new space.
That's what I decided, right, I'm gonna do. First, it was gonna be like just an underground grime project. And then the other tune that I think was the DW and Frisco one, it's called That's Too Much. So they were the two that kind of started up the whole thing. Then as it went along, started doing other bits, then other producers started getting coming involved or whatever. Just basically just I was posted up mainly over in like the studio over in South London, over in South East. Then just started inviting different people as I went along. It took over about 2.5 years in the end.
Wow. Are you serious?
Yeah. Because it came off the back of an EP that I put out in 2018. It's called the Don't Gas Me EP. And that's when I started making beats again, literally.
Right.
Put that as a 5-track EP, and then this thing rolled off the back of that. It was supposed to come out sooner, but like I said, I didn't know. It started off as one thing, then ended up becoming, oh, actually, I think this is going to be an album. Because when tracks like Body Groove or Body Loose or whatever came in, and You Don't Know, all those different beats, it's like, okay, there's more to this now. There's different vibes, the stuff that I wouldn't have made myself, you know what I mean?
What other producers did you bring in?
Splurge Boys. So they're the ones who come with like Body Loose. And the tune with Ocean, he made that beat as well.
That's huge, that tune.
Crazy. Yeah. And then who else? D-Klein, who made I Don't Smoke the Reefer, like back in the garage days. But then he made, there's a garage tune on my album called You Don't Know. So he made that. So we've got Steel Bangles. He done the one with Alan Kai Harley. It's called Energies and Powers. And who else was in there? There's a couple. MK The Plug. On like with a drill thing, and got it as well. I think that was mainly it, to be fair, and the rest was me.
And are you doing your own production? What makes you think I'm going to get someone else to do something, or is that because you can't do all of the beats, or is it because you want to see a producer of a different kind of flavour or style to what you do? Is that what it is?
Exactly what you're saying. And the last thing you said is a bit of everything you said, but the last thing is like bring other people in because you know they're going to come with something else. And I'm not opposed to working with other people, clearly, because for years I just worked with other people. It's only in the first three albums where I produced a lot of the stuff. But I think I went back to making beats and all that again because it just become fun again.
Yeah.
Re-entry, I said, this guy who I was working with in LA when I was working on The Fifth, actually, and what's the last album before that was Rasky. Like, his name's J-Mike. He works under Luke and all that. So we just became cool. So we didn't even end up making no songs in the end, but we just became cool. He came to London in 2017 just randomly and called me, and he was going to an Arsenal game. So I picked him up and I was driving him to an Arsenal game, stuck in traffic, and he was making a beat on a laptop in my car next to me with his feet up. what are you using this? And he was using all this different stuff that I hadn't seen, and Splice and all these things. Like, right, what's that? I'd never seen it. And Ableton, I knew what Ableton was, but I just never bothered to touch it. I just ended up just getting bored of Logic and bored of just making beats because it was the same approach, and then I hated it. So then I saw what he was doing, and I just bought a new laptop, loaded it up with a bunch of stuff. Then it started getting fun again. And that's when you had the EP, Don't Gas Me. I started making beats again and then rolled straight into this album, but it just took a little while. Okay, and another producer on there was Chubby Dread. So he's the one for Platinum 45. He's the one who made the beat for Eastside with Getz and Kano. Yeah, so I love working with other producers, but getting back to making my own shit. See, we're in the studio now, obviously. It's going to be cooler than vocal, whatever, but end up buying a bunch of stuff. See, now I'm getting onto the hardware. I'm tired of using the sample things and all that. It was a nice re-entry, but now I'm understanding more. I've had to do more research and like about what a producer actually does, or a beat maker, and all these different ways of doing it. It's opened up a whole world. Whereas before I was just going with just straight feeling, a bit of knowledge, straight feeling, and end up with Boy in the Corner, shit like that. But now I'm jumping into it even more because of this album.
Don't you have to have patience to master all this new shit? I mean, are you like, do you ever buy equipment and think, oh, I can't be fucking, this is taking much longer than I thought it was going to?
Oh, you're right. Some of it's hard. See, like, I've just bought this drum machine thing and I'm right at the beginning of, like, say that like, while I was making Boy on the Call, my manager tried to show me an MPC because he's a producer as well, isn't it? Old school.
Yeah.
No hit where he's from that. He sat me there, showed me the MPC and I couldn't, like, get my head around. I just,
right.
You know what I mean? Just the gear, the way it's put out, the sequencing, and I can't hate it. So what I ended up doing was the samples were just laid, the way I made beats was the samples were just laid out across the keyboard. See, like this one here, across, wherever they were across. And I just tap and make a beat like that. And
it's, right.
I'm happy about it because like a few years ago, I see that's how Timbaland it is. And Timbaland was always where Timbaland and Neptunes were who I look to when it comes to production. And I guess DJ Paul from First Mafia in it, but they were bigger, obviously, in it. So it's like, okay, my way wasn't wrong in the end of always, but I find it hard with those beat make sequence of things, you know what I mean? It's just like, I'm just intimidated by them. I bought a new one, so I'm going to have to sit there and try and fucking work it out. And then other stuff was stuff that I thought was hard, like Ableton, actually ended up being easier.
Have you ever dabbled, Ramesh? Downloaded any, like, software?
No, but I got... As you know, Rube, I keep fucking talking about this. I got Dex with the intention of learning to DJ. And my patience for trying to acquire a new skill, I just don't... that's kind of why I was asking the question, actually, is I just sort of have a go at it. I mean, it's really childish attitude. Because the thing is like, that's what I was going to ask you, Dizzy, is that obviously the craft of rapping and spitting is a hard one to master and to get good at.
Yeah.
And it requires you to sort of... You know, it's similar to stand-up in terms of if you don't work at it, you end up moving backwards because you've stayed static and everyone else has moved ahead, right? That's kind of how it works with stand-up. So do you ever feel like a pressure of like, well, if you're working on producing, you're not working on bars and vice versa. Like, do you find that a battle in terms of how you split your time and kind of working on what you're doing?
Nah, not too tough because the beat making is just fun again. Like it's exciting because it's just another side of me that again all started around. Well, beat making came last. I DJed first. I used to mix Jungle,
yeah,
and then I started to MC on the Jungle records, and then beat making beats came after all of that. But the beat making is as important to me as far as like an outlet. Like you see, like you need to just offload sort of. I think that's why I did music in the first place. It was I wrote bars and MCs to just whatever. I was getting kicked out of school, and on the way back, I was writing some angry bars, and then it just became, you know what I mean? Like I became an MC, like an angry one. So that's where it comes. But making the beats, it almost excites me more than
really
the lyrics. Yeah, because if I listen to Boy in the Corner, yeah.
Yeah.
Or any of my music, I don't listen to me. I listen to the music, like, because that's what impresses me the most. Those sounds, putting all those sounds together, that's what gets me gassed. I guess putting the bars on and make sure I make sound right on them is as important as well. But if I make a fucked beat, and in fact, that's what was important about this beat, about this album, is me going back to making beats, because obviously for years I didn't, and that is what actually set me apart from everyone else. It was my beats.
Mm.
There hasn't been no beats in Grime for years that sounded like mine. Nothing sounds like Boy in the Corner because I made beats most.
Yeah.
Nothing sounds like I Love You. Nothing sounds like Stop That. Even till now, innit? So sometimes I impress myself. Even so, it's only when I listen to that, it's like, right, because I'm so... I want to make some fucked shit. Do you know what I mean? It's just so mad that even years later, I listen to it, I'm like, right, the fucking hell, did I do that? How did I do that? I listened to some of the stuff on Boy in the Corner. I was like, rah, fucking hell. Because I could tell how much effort I put in it. See something like I Love You. That beat, I played it all the way through. I didn't play it in like chop it in sections. I actually played it for 3 minutes or whatever the fuck it was.
Love you. don't know what you say that's for. Some hard banging at your girl, what for? Pregnant, what are you talking about before? 15, she's underage, that's raw. And against law, 5 years or more. Now she wants a score and a half hour draw. That's the kind of threat that you can't ignore. That whore got you pinned down to the floor, but shut on foot, you said three match words. When that's the one for the buzz. When you said that, she forgot other words. It's over, you better start buying the quiz. There was no intention of her being
wet. Nothing sounded like that production at the time. Is that when that comes out? There's two ways you can look at that. You can shit yourself and think nobody else is doing stuff like this. Is this all right? Yeah. Or you go, this is really different. Was there any part of you that thought, I don't know how this is going to be received? Or were you like, I know this is different. So you had that confidence of youth, I guess. You know, how were you approaching it then?
Well, back then, I just saw myself as like, yeah, I'm going to make the most fucked shit.
Right.
Like, that's the only way I could say it. Like, I'm going to make the most fucked shit. More fucked than that. More fucked than that. Fuck them, fuck that. I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna go nuts. It's gonna sound sick. Like, just sick. That's it. And put some weird shit in front of me. Weird.
You said you had that period where you weren't making stuff. Do you, like, looking back now, do you regret that you weren't involved in that side of it? Or, like.
No, because I had some fucking massive tunes. Like, Dance and Me. That's not shit I would have made. So that is what it is. But what's more interesting is the journey. It's the fact that it took someone I met in fucking LA to make me want to make, for him to come to England, for us to not do nothing, him to come to England for an Arsenal game, me meeting while I was on tour, by the way. I was on tour. I was having a day off. I was on tour around UK. That made me go and get a new laptop and start making beats. This album wouldn't exist. This album that everyone's loving right now from me wouldn't exist. I'd probably still be going around, whatever, roaming around trying to get beats off everyone. There are beats from other people in this, but it started with me making my beats and then making a nice balance, which was basically the same as Boy in the Corner, because I didn't make all of the beats on that either.
That's good. A positive came out of Arsenal then.
Yo,
what the fuck's that supposed to mean?
I'm just doing it. I'm not a football guy, but I know you're an Arsenal fan, so I'm trying to do football banter.
No, it's good. It's a good little well done for dipping your toe into that area of banter.
That'll do.
How do you feel it went, man?
It's all right. I was quite nervous, but I feel good now.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. It felt like you were losing conviction sort of midway through saying it.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So Dizzy, how did you decide? You've got like a who's who in terms of guest list on your album.
Yeah.
How did you decide that? Is that people you know, or did you reach out to people you just like their stuff, or how does that work?
If you've got time, I can actually break down each one.
Go for it.
Do it.
So with P Money, I already did a tune with him on that Don't Gas Me EP. So it was someone that we all know P Money, innit? We all know who he is, and I just know like. It was like a tester to put him. It was like the kind of beat that it was on that EP was a dark grime beat. My foray back into me making grime again as a producer. Yeah. So I stuck him on that, and it went.
Do you think P Money gets? I saw an interview of you where you sort of named him as one of the representatives of grime in your mind. Do you think he gets the credit he deserves? Because he's a fucking beast, right?
I think he's been getting more credit like recently than ever.
Mm.
But I feel like he's always got his ratings. He hasn't had the most, like, biggest songs. Not necessarily the biggest song maker.
Right.
Separates thingy. But you say like in jazz, you could have someone who's who has bigger songs, but someone else is better trumpet player than them.
Right.
That makes sense?
Yeah, totally. Cool. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, so it's like that. But as far as he's a super reliable guy when it comes to bars and grime, innit? Or dubstep. Yeah. Right? So that's how I got him. So that thing worked. So it's like I called him on for this. Yeah, here's anytime I've got that type of beat that I've made, that's someone like I can always stick on one of my beats. That's what I've decided now. That yeah, that's a reliable guy who's going to come with it. And I met him at an Ocean Wisdom show, to be fair. I've never met P-Money.
Right.
So I went to go and come out at an Ocean Wisdom show because we had the Revan song in it. So I came out at Always London show and that's where I met P-Money and then so, like, link, that's where the link happened. With Chip, I've known Chip a little while. I haven't met him much, but known him and chatted to him on the phone and whatever. And he did a Daily Duppy. I saw it and just hit him up and said, yeah, no, that was, I like that. That was sick. And he told me he had something, he had some shit, did some music. So then that's how that linked up. So I went and did a song, or recorded a song for him in here, I think. Then I got him to come to the studio and then that was that. We made another song. With Getz and Kano, what happened was with like I said, the producer, Platinum 45, Trouble Dread, he's someone I've known since just before Boy in the Corner, because he made Oi for More Fire Crew. So yeah. I've known him since then. And he made a song called Round We Go on my first album as well, on Boy in the Corner. But then I didn't see him for like years. And then he just randomly hit me up out of the blue. And it's like, oh, what are you dealing with? What's going on? So then come and met me at the studio. Then he was just around a lot. Like someone that I'd always, if I'm going to the studio, whether I'm working with him or not, I just tell him to be there, be in the room. It's like it's a trusted, someone I could confront, like trusted person, you know what I mean? Got a wicked ear, wicked producer. But then he came with that beat. He hadn't been producing much.
Yeah.
Stuff, whatever. So he showed me the beats and then I think I saw Getz in traffic one day.
I like how planned all these cameos are.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, that's why I have to break it down each way, because it's not like how everyone would imagine it.
Yeah.
I've known Getz since I was like 14, like from before music, from whatever, just on Dust Street, yeah, whatever. Like,
yeah.
I mean, back in the day, like, yeah, I saw him in traffic in Old Street, like, what's going on? Good word. Then I think we exchanged, like, hit me up. So then I got him to come to the studio. He jumped on that beat. And then me and Chubby, like, on a separate session, were thinking about who could jump on this and, like, take it somewhere else. And by this time, Getz had come with the live and direct from the East Side. So that was already the theme, innit?
Right.
So it had to be someone from East, really. So then, obviously, who's going to take that next level? And it was Kano. So then we brought Kano in another session, and that's how that one happened. So, Alakai Harley, I was in the studio with Tiny Temper's manager, my friend Bumi. We were just jamming in the kitchen area and then Alakai came through and just started. I'd never met her, I didn't know who she was, and just like, yo, come and hear my music. She was working in the room next door in the building with her, and she'd play me her music and that, and she just started going off. You see like when you see like in America where you see the people just like they start freestyling for you. She was just doing that. Yeah. I was like, sick, like you're wicked, innit? And then I went to my room, carried on what I was doing, and I needed a hook. Basically, because I'd done this tune for Still Bangles beat. He dropped off a bunch of beats and recorded something. I thought, I need a hook. I thought, wow, I should just ask that girl next door. So I went there, told her.
None of these were planned.
That's what I'm saying. Like, then she came and she just did it. I wish I could disguise, wish my enemies would be quiet, but I don't wish for their demise. I wish I could be patient and I wish I could be wise. Still, I wish a pussy would come and try me and survive.
Big yard, big bends. Still born a spliff on the ends. Big yard, big bends. Link on my long time friend. Energy and powers. Powers. Energies and powers. Powers.
Yeah. That's how a lot of the stuff happened.
Was there anyone you bumped into and then it didn't work out?
You
tried it. Tried some.
AJ Tracy. I've got a tune with AJ Tracy on it. Well, over one of my beats, we just didn't end up. And I've done something for his album.
Yeah. Right.
It ended up coming up. So then sometimes that just happens, innit?
Yeah.
When you bump into Getz in traffic and you get him to come and do your tune, are you giving him a remit or like a theme, or are you saying, this is the beat, write whatever you think. Is that how it works? Or what's the...
Literally, it depends on the tune, you know? Like, first of all, come to the studio. Imagine me and Getz have never even been in the studio like that before. Like I said, we knew each other young, like, and then he's always been there. And then I think I might have even, when he... I was used to be the one telling him just like, kind of like, sort it out, man, because he kept going jail, innit, when we was younger. I think when he came, I gave him the talk. Like, he told me that, because I'd forgot, innit? So we've got a loose relationship anyway. We're just one of them dudes, innit? We've just known for a long time. But when he came to the studio, I think just played him a couple things and just the way he approached it started. But he's one of the people who don't write nothing, so he just start kind of freestyling his head, then go and put a thing down.
I always thought that was bullshit when people said that, but that really happens, right?
No, bro, the first time I actually saw it was when I worked with Giggs. That's the first person I actually see do it physically.
Yeah.
No, to be fair, Bun B was.
Right.
Or Trey the Truth. When I was out in the States, I see them do it. And then I see Giggs do it in front of me, not writing nothing, just lay the thing down. And I was all like, rah, fucking hell, I've never done it like that. I probably could, but I'm just used to writing shit down.
Yeah.
That's what Getz did that day, say, and like I said, that's the thing he came with, live and direct from the East Side, right? But the way he'd done it, and by the time he'd finished... Well, in fact, he did half and then went away and we had to come back on another session to finish it, actually. But then the way he did it and the way the beat was patterned, couldn't come up with a chorus. It just didn't feel like a song he put a hook on. So I literally just come off the back of his rhyme scheme. That makes sense. So I just rhymed the last thing he said.
Right, got it.
And carried it on kind of thing, innit? Which is what me and Ocean Wisdom did on the song Don't Be Dumb on this album. Just that's what we did. We just traded the same rhyme scheme, but we just did it throughout the whole song.
That Don't Be Dumb is like fucking hell, man.
Ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
Militant, relevant, frivolous gentleman with 10 bitches. I fingered all 10 of them. Quick 10 stitches. I spitted this melanin. It weren't nothing to do with this melanin. Brick my brother then spits with better than sticks. Adrenaline, dip, swelling. I'm mischief, bubble than swift and menacing. Oh my god, he can't take my brethren.
Brethren, that sounds threatening. Very unsettling. Somebody get him some ketamine. Settling down and heckling. And I got a big face kettle, all metal, no bezeling. Never done banking, scams, embezzling. Run up on him on the main road, no peddling. Telling him, stop being feminine. Mind your business, bitch, stop meddling.
Oopsie daisy. How did that come about?
Well, we've done 3 songs. Two for my album, and then this one was going to be for another project that we might have done together.
Right.
But Tones Come Studios, there was a beat that Splurge Boys left, and I was rolling around on that day listening to it. I said, all the beats, this one's fucked. This beat's fucked. This is the one that's going to run. I'm going to take this to the studio called Ocean. And it's the way we work. We don't fuck about when I'm with him, yeah. He's so fucking fast. He's not just fast at rapping, he's just fast at it done. So by the time, and it's almost showing off. He's just, all right, fast, all right. All right. Just like trying to keep up with him. Like, it's mad. But yeah, you just get it done. So then it makes you just get it done. So he wrote his verse. Then I had to, okay, that's what it is. Cool. We'll do that. Then we might discuss little bits in that kind of thing. And then I come with the chorus. Then we come off the back of that. But we knew that, okay, we're just going to. We're trading, we're sparring.
Yeah.
So that's how that happened. And then it ended up on my album. It was wicked.
If you get someone into the studio to like lay down a verse, is it, if you don't like it, not if you don't like it, let's say for example, you think it just doesn't fit or it doesn't work, do you get people to redo stuff, or do you think, well, that's what they wanted to do, I don't quite think it works, so this song's not going to make it, or does it just depend on the situation?
Sometimes, though, like, sometimes it's not me that says, sometimes, like, whether a manager or the label will not, like, it's not that, it's not good enough for the album, it's just that, is it better than this song?
Because you've got to pick a first team, right?
Yeah, because it's 10 songs when he was doing 10 songs for this album. So there was a bunch of songs, and we got tune with Lethal, tune with Miss Banks, tune with K-Trap that I wanted on that album, but he didn't like his verse.
Yeah,
I felt sick. He didn't like it because he didn't think it was, whatever his reason was, he didn't like his verse. So then it just didn't end up going on there. I was sad about that one because I thought it was fucking wicked. But
yeah, sometimes
it goes like that. Sometimes the artist just not feeling what they put.
Right, got you.
Yeah.
It's nice having 10 tunes is quite a satisfying number, not overly long album.
Yeah, you know, I would never have even thought to do that. Yeah, like, to be actual. We're from the era where shit, well, sometimes you get fucking 22 song albums, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
But half an hour, yeah, it's 33 minutes. Is it, again, it's an easy ride to the shop and back, or like, you know what I mean? It's easy, yeah. Calm. It's not taking up too much of your time, man.
Yeah, it's quite nice as well when, like, because, like, this album is so consistent. It's like one of those ones where that length of time and it being so consistent, when you got it on, it comes around to the first track again. You go, holy shit, that was the whole, you know, I'm back to, you know, it almost sort of catches you by surprise, you know what I mean? But how have you found the feedback to it? Because, like, I know you've been sharing stuff on your Instagram of, like, different people, like, playing the album and stuff, but have you noticed the difference to stuff you've done before? Because it feels like a lot of people are sort of saying, this is Dizzy back to his best or whatever, you know, has that been something that you've been aware of in stuff that people have been saying to you?
I've been seeing a lot of that, definitely. I've been seeing a lot of people that I haven't listened to Dizzy since 2004.
Yeah, all
of that. And then just, and hearing just loads of people just happy. Like, just loads of happy people. I ain't no one serious shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like it's been good. It would be nice to get more like see, like, to do a proper, like, a not meet and greet, but like go to a record store and actually see the people there, like, see them in person. Because
I think I saw a video of you in Beggar's Banquet or something, like, just signing stuff. But you weren't obviously you weren't meeting people there, right?
Banquet Records. Exactly. I just actually went there to just go and buy a sign. Sign a bunch of ones that had already been.
Right. So will you tour the album later then? Just part that up. Is that the plan?
I should be touring. I know there's shows lined up and all that already, but you know I kind of prefer it because people would have lived with it, yeah. And they'd know it then. Because sometimes what was happening with over the last few years is that you're trying to fling new music, and people don't know it, and then you're not getting the response that you thought you were gonna get or you'd like. People just, they're listening. And then it disheartens you. You're thinking, oh, they don't like the tune. Something like, Don't Gas Me. I've got a song called Don't Gas Me. And then you look at it, it's got like 11 million plays on fucking Spotify. I didn't even bother doing a video for it. I was like, oh, because when I was playing it, like, it wasn't like going the way I thought it would go. You know what I'm saying? So I'm glad this album, people would have absorbed it.
Yeah, because it's hard, isn't it? Because especially as, like, I guess because you've got such a like a catalogue of, like, really big, I'm talking about hits that have, like, properly crossed over. Yeah. People coming to see you, you know, I know, there are people that be going, I fucking can't wait till he does this one or whatever. I mean, when you're playing the new stuff, people aren't, you know, I'm saying this as somebody that goes to gigs all the time. You sort of, it's not that you don't like it or whatever. You are just, like, being attentive, going, I actually want to, all the other ones I know. Whereas this one, I actually want to see what it's like. But I can imagine that for the artists, you're just like, fucking hell, they're really not going for this one the way that they're going for the other one.
Yeah.
It's that's like, when everyone goes for a piss, goes to the bar.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or they're just looking at her, like,
on their phone.
It was just like, you just think, oh. But at the same time, but it's a positive as well. It's weird to accept that, right, you made songs that are so big, yeah, that some people see that you can't top it. And then I've got a weird dynamic because for all those massive tunes and that side of crowd, I've got a separate crowd that can't stand that shit.
Yeah.
They can't stand those songs. They hate that version of me. They're the people that are happy about this album. I'm like two different people. Like, this, they say old school Dizzy. Yeah, we're like old school. Yeah. Like, it's like, just fully dissected me. Just, you know what I mean? But they not interested in none of that bonkers, none of that shit. They care about basically boy in the corner. Anything. That's what they care about. So they're in the crowd as well. And they want to hear that. But then you see that, oh, it's a conflict. It's mad. And then you've got everything in between.
How do you deal with that? Because, like, there's, you know, when you did this album, obviously you've got Body Loose on there, but, like, you've got, like, proper, like, this is a proper, you know, underground, you know, album. Do you know what I mean? In terms of your sensibilities and the way that you've done it, it's like a hard, that all the tunes are hard, right? So is there part of you that's going, is there any part of your conscience is thinking about the audience? You're just thinking, this is just what I want to make right now. Or, you know, how does that work in your time, in your kind of process?
You know what? It's a bit of both. I was definitely, I could say I was making a conscious effort to make music for those people that I know, like my first shit.
Right.
And that actually just came with just making the beats myself, which is mad.
Yeah.
Like, and just shouting a bit more. Basically, yeah. And yeah, there's that. But then, yeah, like I said, there's the other side of it. It's like, yeah, having fun and exploring and doing some shit, like coming out of my comfort zone, which ironically is my comfort zone. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Making fuck shit. Yeah. But you know, the mad thing about it is actually making a massive pop song is harder.
Really?
Because I can sit here and make a beat right now and put a dirty bass line and thing, do all that shit I know that they like, whip it up, it's calm, innit?
Mm.
And say some shit. No, you fucking whatever. Shout out to shit,
I like the sound of this, let's keep working it.
Yeah, that's it. But then it's even sicker when you put Getz and Kano and DEE and all that. It's that effort to bring those guys in, the people that
might
peers. You know what I mean? So like, I've made effort, so people see that I've made the conscious effort, like, This is a classic for the scene, for the culture.
Because those people, by the fact that you've chosen those people to be on it, it's a statement about what type of record it is, right? In terms of who you got featured on.
Yeah, it's the effort. It's committed.
Yeah,
it's committed. It's like Jay-Z sticking Nas. I always go Jay-Z. It's like Jay-Z sticking Nas, Snoop, I don't know, DMX.
Yeah.
The Locks, or something, all on his album, all of them on the album, not just one of them, like all of them on the album. That's the equivalent of me putting DEE, Frisco, Chip, Getz, Kano, all on one album. It's committed. It's exciting because you've heard me with DEE, but you haven't heard me with Frisco. It's not something you even thought would happen. You haven't heard me with Chip. You haven't heard me with, like, in all these years, like, and then the music sounds so different, and we know that the climate right now is drill and Afro swing. There's like, I could have just made an album just doing that, tried to just fit in to what was happening.
To jump on that, yeah.
I've got one drill tune on there, with MK the Plug, and that actually came about because of Smoke Boys. I did a tune for them first, in here, in this room. So I did a tune for them. And it was with MK the Plug was the producer of that. So then it was natural for me to just ask him for a bunch of beats.
Yeah.
So I'm saying, and that's how this tune ended up on my album. The commitment, having all them people on there and not trying to make a... Well, Body Groove was the closest to making a... like, and it's still not the poppiest song really is. It's a nod. It's still in keep with like the culture, innit? It's Body Groove, because that was
about
innit? So that's Garage. Like, I'm not a stranger to Garage. I MC in Garage as well at one point.
And what's it like? I know you talked about not being able to play it live. What's it like putting an album out during a lockdown? Has that been a much less satisfying or more satisfying or the same?
Yeah, it's been weird, bro. I've definitely, like, it would be nice to get out to see people more, to get physical reactions to it.
Yeah.
But just seeing it on it, I mean, to sit there on the net, because it's like like echo chamber.
Yeah.
You're locked into your thing that everyone, like, you're going to hear what everyone's just saying about you, innit? But what about outside of that?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally makes sense. And then also the other thing is, like, how much does it affect you, like, if you're hearing that in the clubs and stuff like that? Like, the fact that we've not got that, does that have an impact on you in terms of you hearing what songs are getting played out and stuff?
If I don't know, in the last recent years, I don't know how much of my shit was being played in the clubs. And I ain't been going to clubs for a while, man.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I can't think of what tunes will be getting banged in the club right now. The club ain't even on my mind. I think I'd already accepted that, because I guess towards the end, like, tunes like Body Groove, okay, would have thought maybe so that would work.
Yeah.
Or You Don't Know, but they were kind of towards the end of the album anyway, as far as making it.
Yeah.
So in the beginning, I didn't have that in mind, because even though I'm making a conscious effort to make, like, grime, like as far as making the beats production. I don't even really know where they play grime as far as a club at this point. I haven't been that close to the scene like that where I don't,
yeah.
I don't know where do they play drill tunes, what clubs do they play them at? You know, I mean, I can't even think, I ain't been clubbing for years. I used to do Mavida and all them China Whites and all that at a certain point, innit? And I hated that as well, so I don't know, man.
Really, yeah?
Yeah, because I never really felt that half, like, fit in like that. I didn't, like, all service things. Cool, you go there, dance with some birds, grab a couple, get out, like, do your thing and that, innit? But other than that, it's not really, I'm not the champagne guy, like, not overly. I got there, I made holiday, and you saw the shirt I was wearing, it's legit. Yeah.
Ramesh, on the other hand, is really missing the clubs, aren't you, during lockdown?
Oh, mate, I'm all about the club, you know me.
Right.
You're coping, considering.
Yeah. I remember, the thing is, though, is like, I remember, like, you know that time, you weren't about it this year, actually. You're in a totally different, you know, discipline or whatever, but I remember being at a club or a bar or something with my mates and then just standing around and looking at each other and going, this is actually, we've got to an age now where this is quite fucking tragic. I think we need to go. Yeah. We look like a group of cabbies that had gone to try and just like pick up fares or whatever. It was awful. Fucking hell, mate. So depressing. But Dizzy, seriously, man, it's a great album, man. I'm sure you know what everyone's saying about it. It's great. You should be very proud of it.
There's a vibe out there, bro. That's nice to create. That's what this thing's actually about, innit? Like, it's that challenge. Like, just making everyone just feel like, fucking hell. That was, and it's going to be remembered. That's the best thing about it. It's going to be remembered.
Yeah, it will do. And also, I think people are looking, like, at the moment, people are fucking looking for that. If something good, you know, they want something good and, like, I think people latch onto that at the moment because everyone's in such a fucking funk at the moment. You know, it's like it's good to have something like that, man. What are you listening to? What else do you listen to at the moment apart from your own? I mean, I don't know how much you listen to your own album, but what else do you listen to?
Do you know, I've been rinsing a lot. Have you heard of Sada Baby?
No, I don't know that.
From Detroit, he's this rapper from Detroit. He's got this big track called Whole Lot of Choppers.
Little bitch won't ride it. Told the bitch don't get out her body. Get right beside me. I'ma get in that thing, get sliding. This bitch making me feel erotic. She gotta get on this rocket. I don't give a fuck about her mileage. And her grandma related to the whinings. Ooh, that's the shit that I like. You a church girl, bitch, you like Christ. You ain't never had probably leads, not this kind. I'ma fuck you all night off a perk. Off a perk back. Yeah, leave bitch with the hurt back. Where to work? Where to work at? My young niggas waking up to serve
that. Oh, I do know that tune. Yeah. He's got a mad voice. Yeah, I know that tune. Yeah.
But his album that I've been listening to, I've been like, I love it in the car because the bass knocks.
Yeah.
It's got a flat. It's a solid body of work, man. Let me see the album's called Bartier Bounty.
Yeah, I think that Whole Lot of Choppers, I'm so embarrassed to say this, but the reason I know that tune is because of TikTok, you know. My kids are so into TikTok. I think that tune went massive on there. It's incredible TikTok's breaking tune, but that's what happened.
Oh, every few years, there's a leap, in it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like YouTube broke sharp.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's like Stormzy train, innit?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Bartier, back. So really, it's Cartier County, because he's the blood, so they swap out the C and put a B in.
Oh, right, yeah.
So yeah, that I've been listening to that, rolling around, and that. Yeah, that is dark, hard beats, the 808s are mad, and then them little kind of spooky pianos, and then him, and he can actually really rap.
Yeah.
He's like, I said,
but because of his voice, what happens is, like, I've got, and I don't, it's not snobbery, but like sometimes when you hear somebody's got like a really mad voice, like that, you think they're not going to bother with lyrics. Do you know what I mean? Because you sort of think their voice has done the job, but he actually can do it.
Definitely. And it just adds more character to the whole thing, innit? Like, this guy's a bit off key.
Yeah, exactly. So, Dizzy, listen, it's been a real pleasure to talk to you, man. What's coming up next for you?
Jumpsuit, the Dizzy Rascal E3.
I'm gonna send you both a photo of this jumpsuit, please, mate. And I want your honest opinion of how I look in it.
It don't matter, honest opinion. You did it, man. You did it because you can.
Now, what's coming up next to you, Dizzy?
Show me the things, man. We've got here. We bought some new toys, bro. That's one, man. Buying new equipment and working out how to fucking use it. And then, whilst trying to use it, making mistakes and then doing something sick and then making a beat out of it. Basically, because I don't know what the fuck I'm doing.
Yeah, but that's how, I don't know if you know this, but that's how, oh, look at this shit.
Wicked drum machine. So I'll be like stressing.
You're working on that. Is that your evening now? Just working on that.
You've got to get it out of the box, mate.
I've got to get out of the box, but I need to, you know, you can't, you've got to link it up with it. I need to talk to the geezer who I bought it from, KMR Audio, so they can guide me through how to link it all up, basically.
Oh, right. Okay.
There should be something else in there.
Yeah,
Erebus. Yeah. Oh yeah, this thing here is wicked. Another wicked analog.
What is that?
What's that though? Yeah,
synthesizer. Analog is just like what they used in the old days.
No, right, nice.
And they made the old electro stuff or old hip hop. Is like,
but right. You know that's what Bomb Squad used to say. You know, Public Enemies production. Yeah. They used to say they would fuck about in the studio for ages. Mm-hmm. Then every now and again they would get like a little segment that sounded amazing. And then that would be what they turned into the tune. Do you know what I mean? It would be like just sessions for ages and ages.
Yeah.
So it makes sense.
Accidents happen. You know what's mad?
Yeah.
You see the first song on the album, one with P Money, so one of them basses, something happened, I got it by accident. The actual beat is called Happy Accident.
Oh, really? Yeah.
That's what it was called before we gave it a name. That's what it was.
That's great.
All right. Well, listen, man, thank you so much for talking to us again, man. We really appreciate it.
Bro, I appreciate it, man. Anytime, man.
Yeah.
Watch them things on Netflix.
I started watching it. Yeah. We were chatting on text.
Yeah.
What's it called? Billionaires Boys Club. Is that what it is?
Billionaire Bad Boys or something.
Yes. Something like that. About these Indian billionaires.
Naughty Boy.
Yeah. It was great. I think maybe one of them was wearing a jumpsuit and I got carried away. I don't know where the origins are.
You're supposed to, bro.
You beat me to it.
Yeah. But listen, lovely to speak to you, man. You take care of yourself.
Dude, man, bless up both of you. Respect, yeah?
A bit.
Cheers. See you later, man.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like worried of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com